podcast brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners.
I'm Larry Aglisano, reporting for Aviation Consumer and AvWeb here at AirVenture 2015 in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I'm talking with Mike Glasgow from Lockheed Martin. He's going to explain the new UTM, Unmanned Aircraft Systems Traffic Management. Mike, can you give us an overview of the system as it relates to what Lockheed is doing for unmanned aircraft awareness and management?
Sure, Larry. It's good to talk to you again. So UTM is an emerging concept that the industry is trying to figure out how they're going to manage all these UAS that will be operating, to keep them separate, keep them away from general aviation traffic. And it's a challenging time from the standpoint that not all the policy and not all the ops concepts are completely laid out. So we're still trying to work through a lot of that. But there are certain elements of it that we know are going to be important. For example, situational awareness, making sure that everybody knows where everybody else is operating. So a lot of the capabilities we're focused on now is on that situational awareness and also on addressing some of the scalability issues. So today, you have to get a COA or an exemption to be able to operate. And when you operate, you have to file a NOTAM. And that the filing of the NOTAM is done verbally over the phone through one of our flight service specialists. So if you imagine today there's, you know, maybe 100 that are operating around the country, when that scales up two or three orders of magnitude, that's going to be a lot of phone calls. It's also going to be a big burden on the NOTAM system. So what we've worked on is an ability to handle that electronically and to have a way for us to store the data and make it available to other people without it having to go through the NOTAM system. So one of the first things we've done, and you're looking at it, the listeners can't see it, but we have a page on our website that is kind of like, you could logically think of it as a flight plan form for a UAS. Since they can't adhere strictly to VFR or IFR, it's not a standard flight plan form, but it allows them to enter where they're going to operate, what time, what is the shape of the area, what their maximum altitude is going to be, and some other basic information about who they are. One of the other things that we've worked on is taking that same information and submitting the NOTAM for the user, because at least in the interim, that's still a requirement. Once they've done that, we've got the information in the system, and then we can use it for a variety of other purposes. The main purposes, they're all safety-oriented. And we're doing this in flight services today. I should have mentioned all these capabilities are exposed through our website, which is www.1800-WX-Brief, same website that GA pilots use. So on that website, the four things we've done to make people aware, the first one are these maps. So a pilot or anybody can go onto the website and look under the UAS tab and see a CONUS map, an Alaska map, or a Hawaii map. They can pan and zoom to an area of interest and see all the operations that are scheduled. They can click on them and get the details of what the maximum altitude is. Some of the test sites we work with have asked us to also include adverse conditions there, so that it's a more generally useful thing for GA pilots. Once they do that in a pre-flight mode and they start planning their flight, we've integrated the UAS information into our next-gen briefing capability that we've talked about before. So in the briefing, the pilot will be presented with a graphic that shows their route of flight, and it'll show the UAS operating area relative to their route of flight. It also indicates whether it's going to be active when they're there or not, or if it's close to them when they're going to be, and it'll also convey to them the maximum altitude. So sort of the standard way that we handle polygons now with our next-gen briefing capability.
And which UAS vehicles are required to file that NOTAM?
That's a good question. So there's a mix right now. Technically, anybody who's operating under a COA is absolutely required to file it. That's part of the terms of the COA. Certainly, there are hobbyists and people that are out there flying that aren't reporting. And that's one of the big policy issues that the whole community is going to have to wrestle with and decide how we're going to handle it. We like the idea of people filing filing, and part of our objectives here are to make it easy. They can do it on the website. We're also doing web services. In the same way we've offered web services to flight planning apps that have integrated with us, you could integrate with us from a ground control station. And it could even be transparent to the operator. Just as soon as you start to operate, it posts, and then people can be aware of it. And if we can make it easy like that, the hope is that will make it more common for people to report so that other people can avoid it. In addition to briefings, we've also got the Adverse Condition Alerting Service that's been in flight services for a while. And that service, after you get a briefing, it will push alerts to you if a new adverse condition pops up, a SIGMET, an AIRMET. We've added the UAS operating areas to that set. So if somebody submits one after you get your briefing, you'll get an alert. And one of the important things for both the alerts and the briefing is we put a 4,000-foot filter on it. Because if you're flying in flight levels and someone's in AGL 400 or something, you don't want to be bothered with that. And we got the FAA to look at that and agree that an altitude filter would be a good and safe thing to do. So it's got to be within 4,000 feet of your altitude or we don't bother you with it. The fourth thing that we're doing is not so much something you see on the website, but obviously if long-term we replace the use of the NOTAM system with a capability like this, we will have to make that data available to other systems in the NAS, as well as other systems that are external to the NAS, like other UTM systems. The end state is still kind of emerging, and it may be that there may be an FAA-sponsored one, there may be several others that are provided by industry, and they'll need to talk to each other. So being able to take this data and make it available to everybody else will be very important.
Well, that's great for folks that aren't familiar with the Lockheed Martin website. How do they log on and create an account if they don't have one?
So creating an account is easy. You just go to 1-800-WX-BRIEF. There's a button in the upper corner for log on, and when you click that, under the log on area, you'll see another button that says create an account or something like that. So those are you tell me if you want me to go further. Those are some of the capabilities that are out there right now. There's a whole bunch more that are in the mill that will be coming out over the next few months that still pertain to GA safety. So, for example, we call these exceptions. Exceptions meaning situations where the UAS doesn't fly where it is intended to be flying. And the two cases that we're doing something for are flyaways and what we call non-conforming aircraft. So a flyaway, an example of that would be someone flies beyond the range of the radio control. And let's pretend that it's a unit that does not have logic in it that will return to base when it loses its link, its control link. So now we've got a UAS that's just flying. And it'll go for whatever range it has left. We want to warn other pilots about that. So what we provide is what this will be coming over the next few months. We've already prototyped this. You can do it on the website or through web services or call us and report the flyaway. We'll immediately use that information to notify other pilots through ACAS if they're in the area. And we'll hand it to a specialist. So long term, this should be all electronic to air traffic control if it affects controlled airspace. But that will take a while because we've got to make modifications to their systems. In the interim, we'll hand it to a specialist. They understand the airspace. They'll assess, do I need to let air traffic control know? And they'll pass that information on over. Same thing for non-conforming aircraft. Basically, we have a mechanism where we can receive position reports for the UAS, for example, from the ground control station over web services. And if they go outside of their airspace, we'll do the same assessment and notify ATC if appropriate. So that becomes a very important aspect, a safety aspect, both for GA pilots and for people operating in controlled airspace.
Thanks, Mike. We appreciate the information. And with continuing coverage here at AirVenture 2015, I'm Larry Anglesano. Thanks for listening.